everyone, and welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 125, and we're recording on January 31st, 2021. We've got news involving the stonks. A whole new infection has swept through this podcast, and I'm sorry, it's going to bleed out onto these airwaves, so bear with us while we have some intense conversations around a very old game. Maybe not the one you're thinking of. And also, we've been playing some stuff. We are going to talk about what people went horribly wrong with Cyberpunk this last week. And I know Shannon is itching to talk about that. I am Zach Anderson, and with me, as always, the man of many mods, Shannon Moore. Shannon, how are you doing?
Well, now it's just not me that's getting fucked in the ass. It's a whole bunch of other people.
Jesus. That was a little much. A little much for the intro.
Sorry.
Good thing you got that explicit tag.
Yeah, coming out guns hot. It's fine. I promise I'll calm down as the episode progresses. But You can't help but just shake your head when you hear about things like that. You're like people who want to go to outer space and explore new planets. And mm-hmm, the first thing, you know, like Jay and Silent Bob, I want to be the first person to find an alien life form and fuck it. Like, it's just what people do on the internet. They find new ways to just mess with other people.
Just to be awful. Speaking of things that are awful.
Hey-o.
We have a man who has put more time with his hands on foil than a baker. Justin Time Carter. Justin, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good. I guess you could say, Shannon, that it kind of adds a whole nother meaning to the phrase wick dick. You know what I'm saying?
As I saw that story, we should just start with that story. First. As soon as I saw it crawl past my timeline, I'm like, oh, I know what half this week's episode is going to be about. Man. So how are you guys doing? How's your week?
This weekend did not go well. On the scale of weekends, everything that I have bought in recently that I have used to make my life better, mm-hmm, decided that it was just going to either not work by error or because I messed with a good thing and it broke. So my 3D printer, I was printing some stuff with it, and I forgot that I had a project on the plate already, and I went to start a new project, and the head went over and smashed into the project that was already there, and it was at like such an angle to where I snapped the head off of the sensor that lets you know how close the filament coming out is close to the bed. So there's no easy way to fix that, so I just had to order another part for that. So that's kind of a bummer because the 3D printer is just kind of sitting there, and I look at it longingly because I want to print things on it, and I can't. But other than that, I got a Elgato 4K 60 Pro recorder for streaming. So I'm going to start wanting to get you guys in on like Saturday night game sessions for maybe like an hour or two. Maybe if we can get like a 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock streaming sesh, sure, I can start throwing those up on that Pixel Life's website, on the Facebooks and YouTube channel, so we can maybe get some more presence growing there. The tech support for them is not good. You call them and they're like, hey, you're going to be on hold for 5 minutes. And I was on hold for a solid 45 minutes. So it went from being something like, oh, this is going to be super cool, I can handle this, knock this out real quick, to I really hate this company and I want to take this card back. But I got everything up and running. It's good now. I'll save the other tidbits of what happened this weekend for later. Not bad. Good. Just Justin's feeding a new addiction in my life, and I don't know how I'm gonna handle it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was good. Justin, how was your weekend?
Dude, my weekend was pretty good. You know, I went and picked up the new, as I'm sure we'll be talking about here, the new Magic set came out. So I got to go to one of my favorite places to spend money, which is a game store, and go pick up my Khaldeem draft booster boxes and pre-release things. And I'm like, hey, is this game mat for sale? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, I'll fucking add it in the pile, I guess.
So how much did you spend on booster packs and all and boxes right out of the gate? If you don't mind me asking.
With Khaldeem, little over to like 200.
That's it?
Yeah, well, like I said, the one booster box is only like $100, and then with the three pre-releases, whatever, and then because I pre-ordered them or whatever, they like cut me like a little bit of a deal and stuff. If you pre-order, I pre-ordered it like months ago, so I gave them my money, and they like knocked a couple bucks off all of it or whatever, so.
Nice. So, yeah, I would have definitely thought you would be like in the like thousand, like right around 1,000 right now.
Oh no, I'm not that hardcore. I mean, I did also spend like $50 on Arena because I bought the 50 booster packs and stuff because I also want cards. It's hard having physical cards, and then I like I forget. Like I'll be like, oh wait, dude, don't I have this card? And I realize no, it's on Arena. Like I mix the two up, and I'm like, god damn it.
Well, Zach, how was your weekend? I saw that you sent me a text message with Village Host Pizza and Ranch, and immediately awoken some primal, like, Pavlovian response in me, so now I have to order Village Host Pizza.
I was going to say, it sucks to be in San Jose now, doesn't it? Uh-huh. Used to be right down the hill from you, but now...
Yeah, I know. It sucks. It's going to be one of those special things again.
Man, I remember totally random conversation that's super relevant if you're a Bay Area resident, and if you're not, I'm sorry, but I remember being a kid living in Sunnyvale, and we would go to the Woodside Deli, which is off Woodside Road, which as an adult or even in high school is a basically a drive I made every day. But I can remember as a kid, that was like a special deal. Like, holy crap, we are driving to Redwood City. Like, wow. And I got to high school. And I'm like, wait, this is like a 20-minute drive? What the hell? Like, why did my dad make such a big deal out of this? Like, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah. But Woodside Deli, if you don't know, get to knowing, because those are the best sandwiches anywhere. Super legit. And then they went under, and then because, you know, all the rents in the Bay Area go crazy. And then someone who has another deli basically went, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. I'm going to buy it and you're good. We're just going to keep Woodside Deli rolling. So good on that guy, because sucks losing institutions. And in the Bay Area, it happens a lot. Let me tell you,
not all heroes wear capes, my friend.
No, some just smell like pickles and liverwurst. I don't know. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Damn it, I'm a hero. Anyway, no, but it was a pretty mellow weekend. I started working Saturdays, which sucks. But oh. Yeah, it's only for a short time, but I get a 1 day weekend right now, and so today I didn't do a damn thing. It was great. It was glorious. I made a pot of coffee. I drank a pot of coffee, and then got Village Host for dinner and played a bunch of games in between. It was glorious.
That sounds magical.
It was good times. So Shannon, since you've got this brand new crazy gaming PC that you're decking out with capture cards and all this crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How much time did you put into modding your copy of Cyberpunk so you could have sex with Keanu Reeves?
Well, I mean, I just, that's the only patch that's worth downloading. You know, so, I mean, who doesn't want that? Yeah, it's not a lot, to be honest. You know, the game was busted as hell already. I'm just waiting for the person to fix all the bugs for CD Projekt Red and then put out like a polished copy. Mm-hmm. And then I'll download that one. But yeah, it's just I don't know if I want to have that much Keanu in my life, especially at that level. for anybody who has read the article, basically what happened is CD Projekt Red came out with a mod editing kit for Cyberpunk.
Which, by the way, reads to me like, hey, I bet you guys could fix this game a lot faster than we can. So I'm going to release a mod kit out for you for modding. Not for fixing my game.
Anyway, so they released this kit, and of course, you give that to the public, and the first thing that they're going to do is run with it in a way that you immediately did not think of. So, of course, this one user created a mod where they there is a sex scene in the game where Keanu Reeves' character has intimate relations with a sex working robot. So what they did is they took the skin of the sex-working robot and replaced it with the skin of Keanu Reeves. So basically everything else is the same. The actions are the same. The point of view, basically everything changes to you just basically boning down with Keanu Reeves. And it immediately caught like wildfire. Everybody was going crazy for this, downloading it. And CD Projekt Red had to release a statement saying, please, do not fuck Keanu Reeves. We don't, you know, the people who have given us the license to use their likeness in the video games have entrusted us with this. And, out of respect, we would ask that you don't do that. Also, it can be seen as a little bit creepy if, you have this on your computer and you're, boning down with Keanu as much as the next person. So, yeah, I mean, they released a public statement saying, please don't do that. The patch or the mod isn't downloadable anymore. Like, they're blocking it. So, yeah, that's pretty much where it's at. What are you guys' thoughts on this? Justin, like, I mean,
I'm like, dude, all I need to do is design my character to look like Trinity and I'm set.
it's the Matrix sequel you've always wanted.
Yeah.
Well, the voice doesn't change. They still use the same audio for the sex robot. So it's nothing. It's not Keanu Reeves' voice. There's no Keanu Reeves dialogue. It's basically just the skin of Keanu with the voice of the sex robot. Which, so I mean,
what you're telling me is there's still work to be done.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they just released the kit. So these mods will get better. I mean... Yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, once, even if they block it, I'm like, bro, once it's out, you know that shit's already on Pirate Bay. Like, you're not getting around that. Yeah. There's other avenues, too. It's not that it's going away. It's just going to be a little harder, extra step or two to get to it.
I mean, I'm just asking for a friend, but is this on VR yet, by any chance? I mean, just...
asking for a friend.
And plus, it's like, it's one of those things where I'm sure Keanu Reeves like probably thinks it's hilarious and is totally cool with it. He's like, yeah, dude, choke me, daddy, like, do whatever. He's like, I got paid. Like, I don't fucking care.
He's like, that check cashed 2 years ago, dude. I'm whatever.
Yeah,
well, I mean, from what I understand, it's just like the scripted cutscene. They just flopped the assets. They just mirrored them.
Did you have to use the word flopped?
Dude, if stuff's flopping, you're doing something wrong.
Well, I mean, the physics are all off it. Cyberpunk's got a bunch of physics problems.
I'm just saying. I mean, it's really hard to...
As in difficult.
Yes, as in difficult to get the ass. That's right. Just saying. But
I hate this show. All right, well, why don't we talk about something that actually has some relevancy and is pure chaos defined. I don't know about you, but there's one thing that made me smile more than people instantly taking a mod kit to turn around and fuck Keanu Reeves, and that was a subreddit board instantly banding together to fuck the stock market. I thought it was hilarious how was it Wall Street Bets, the subreddit Wall Street Bets, figured out a bunch of different hedge funds short lists, which is basically stocks that these hedge funds have shorted, so they are on the hook for, but on the hedge fund level, they're looking to make money by shorting stocks. And they were like, hey, GameStop shows up over and over and over again on these lists. Why don't we just start buying GameStop stock? And the more we buy, the bigger that price is going to go up. And within, I want to say, 4 days, they basically put two major hedge funds completely out of business by billions of dollars. And it's phenomenal. And it's one of the thing that is amazing is it's 1,000% legal. All their discussion is completely out in the open. Anyone can look at it. They're not hiding what they're doing on any level. They're playing within the rules. They found loopholes to a loophole, basically. And there was nothing anyone could do about it. So then Robinhood, which is the main app that everyone was using to trade these stocks, decided to shut their, you couldn't trade GameStop anymore. And also AMC movie theaters and a few others that had gotten caught up in this, which seemed real bad. And Robinhood tried to come up with, or the CEO of Robinhood to release a statement of like, oh, well, we were scared that people are exposing themselves to too much risk and we're doing it to like protect our clients. And it's like, bullshit. You know, like that was the biggest bullshit detector I've ever seen. And essentially what has happened is this last week has really exposed for a bunch of people who maybe had a feeling but didn't really know how deep it went. That essentially the stock market exists for rich people and they don't really like it when the poors like us start making money. And hey, guess what? You know, like they started shutting things down and changing rules real fast, real quick. And I found that incredibly funny and incredibly interesting. Shannon, do you have thoughts?
Yeah, I hate the stock market and I hate the people that run it. I thought it was awesome. They lost. I mean, basically, you know, everybody, there were stories on both sides where people were complaining about the losses and the gains. But, you know, it was the average Joe that, you know, like the mom working, the single mom working like two jobs to make ends meet, bought her son. I forget what it was. It was like 300 shares or something like that of GameStop, because
it was the equivalent of one game. It was $60.
Or is it okay? So yeah. Like she bought him like $60 worth of stock, and you know, teach him. It was a Kwanzaa gift, I believe, and she was trying to teach him about money and like, you know, the frivolity of it and how you have to work hard to get what you want. And this kid went from having like $60 of stock to like having, I think when he traded it in, it was something like $3,200 worth of stock. But like, yeah. I mean, the kid was just like flabbergasted, and you know, it was a good learning lesson, and you know, the kid was super joyous about it. That's the stuff I like to hear. Like hedge fund billionaires losing $14.6 billion on one trade. Yeah.
On GameStop of all things. Like, yeah. All right, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Twitter erupting saying, oh, I'll trade it. You can give it back to me. I'll give you $600. You know, that's pretty good. I mean, all those were rich. The fact that Robinhood shut down the ability for you to buy stock or to influence the market this way, or have people band together to, you know, invest the way that they want to, sucks. The fact that they used that opportunity to drive GameStop back down to its original price and, you know, manipulate the market the way that the billionaires have always done, you know, kind of sucks too.
Well, it's not down to its original, but it's down from, I think it was like $460 at its highest, and it's back in the like 150s now or something like that. But still, yeah.
It just sucks. I mean, you can't, I mean, whatever, dude. The rich, it's just rich get richer, the poor get poorer. And, you know, if you're outside that paradigm, you're pissing people off and they're going to swing that big old stonk around and, you know, knock you out of the market.
That being said, a you know, billionaire hedge fund owner that is on live TV literally in tears because the regular people are doing what his shit does every single day. I love, eat it up. Delicious. Gordon Ramsay. It's delicious. Like, give me more of it, you know?
Like, Justin, what do you think about it?
Dude, like, one of my favorite things I saw on Twitter about the whole thing was someone was like, oh, well, maybe you make your $600 stimulus check last longer, actually invest it. And it was like, buy $600 worth of GameStop. I'm like, no, wait, not like that.
Yeah, no, not like that. Yeah.
But like, it was
the hedge funds considered skipping the avocado toast, maybe getting a second job as an Uber driver. Yeah.
But yeah, it was like hilarious just seeing all that. Like, I know my friend Troy was one of those people who bought, not like a ton, but bought GameStop stock, AMC, Blockbuster. That was one of the other ones and stuff, and like cashed out and like, you know, got like easily like five times his money and stuff back. And even with Dogecoin, that was one of the other things. After Papa Elon went on Twitter and promoted Dogecoin, the price of that went up like full decimal places like within a few hours. So people who bought Dogecoin at like point like 000 whatever of like a fucking cent like made buku fucking dollars.
Well, I mean, that was the funny thing, too, is with that whole market exchange, you know, Reddit was posting the memes and, you know, the funny things were, that were popping up were just like the top four richest people in the world now. And it was like Elon Musk and the Amazon dude were like 3 and 4. And then I eat ass 420.69 was like number one.
It was like potato in my ass. Like, dude, that's what I was telling my friend Troy about this. I was like, bro, I was like, out of everything that's like, how is it that everything that's happened so far this year and WandaVision is the least fucking weird thing that's happened this year out of everything? Out of Wall Street, out of storming the Capitol, out of, oh my, it's bonkers.
Dude, it's just, it's ridiculous. It's really,
and it's January.
Like, yeah. Just let people invest how they want to invest. Like, the thing is if you did that and you let it go, like, they wouldn't, I don't think it would have had as much traction, and I don't think they would have tried to do it again. And I mean Robinhood's probably just going to go belly up pretty soon, you would think, because they're not going to get the traction that they had initially.
Well, dude, what's crazy is there's actually talk of a class action lawsuit against Robinhood, because not only were they preventing people from buying GameStop stock, like they shut that off for like 24 hours or whatever and then put it back, but I saw a lot of cases of they were like auto trade, like people who had GameStop stock, they were like auto cashing them out. Like they were like, we've just auto like cash this out, you'll get this much money in your account. And people were like, no, like I didn't want that. But they like were like, yep, well, we already did it. So people were pretty pissed that they were just like, no, and it's gone. Like, you don't get your stocks.
Damn.
It's a mess. But yeah, to go with what you said earlier, my favorite tweet was, pandemic day 25, I made bread. Day 95, I sure do miss my friends. Day 310, the White House appears to be under the control of a shirtless man in a Viking helmet. Day 330, Reddit's coordinated attack on Wall Street is going as planned. It's like, wait, what the hell has happened in the last year?
Oh, dude, shoot. Like the history books when our kids have to go through this year in high school, like it's just, shit's going to be like a whole, like, in-depth.
It's going to be something. It's, 2020 and 2021 have not disappointed so far.
Back to back champs.
To quote Robbie, tag team champs. But you know what also isn't disappointing? And check out this segue. Do you see the PS Plus lineup for next month? Mm-hmm. Holy shit. You've got the Control Ultimate Edition, which is going to be free, which has the PS5 upgrade in it, which that game is selling, I want to say, for like $110 right now.
Damn. And
just like, yeah, have it, take that. And then also Destruction All-Stars, which was their like Twisted Metal Battle Royale game or whatever, that they were like, we're going to sell this for $60. And everyone went, hell no, we're not buying that for $60. And they're like, did I say 60? I meant PS Plus. And, which we all agreed back when they announced that would be the smartest way for them to do that. And it looks like they figured that out too. So, I mean, I'll play that for free. Why not? And then Concrete Genie, which is an amazing, like, all ages game, like really cool game. Shannon, you should check that one out, because I bet your son would like watching that one. It's pretty fun. But yeah, I mean, I'm pretty hyped for all those games. I mean, granted, I've been working through Control on the Xbox because that showed up on Game Pass last month. But I mean, I will take the Ultimate Edition that has the Alan Wake add-ons and all that good stuff. So yeah, you guys have thoughts on that at all?
That's rad. I mean, at least with Control, you're getting a good game. Who knows what Destruction All-Stars is going to bring, but yeah, I hope it's fun. I'll give it a try. I mean, you can't go wrong for free. And then, yeah, Concrete Genie, I don't ever remember that being released or seeing it come out, but like that game looks super cool. Like, I think I want to give it a try. Justin, yeah. How about you?
Yeah, with, you know, I know a lot of people actually had, like, Control and stuff on their, like, Game of the Year list. Like, not, like, Game of the Year, but usually, like, you know, an honorable mention, like, somewhere in the top 10 and stuff. So, I never bought it, so I'd definitely be interested for free, you know, checking it out and stuff. Like, seems pretty cool.
Okay, so, anything else you guys want to talk about before we hit the weekly consultation?
Are we just gonna like walk over the big elephant in the room, which is all of our like obsession with Magic and me finding my cards and
I guess
I was like, are we also gonna talk about WandaVision?
Well, I figure we do that at the end.
Yeah, okay. We gotta save that for the end. So, all like, right. You know,
I wanted to make sure everyone saw that new episode because goddamn, was that a good episode?
Yeah, it was. It was legit.
I'm locked in now. Like now it's Friday. I don't care how late it is viewing. I've got to,
But yeah, so I was cleaning out the garage, and I don't know if you've been listening to the show, but for the listeners out there, the last like 3 weeks, Justin has infected Zach with like looking up our cards from 20 years ago in Magic the Gathering.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I have gone now jumped on the bandwagon because I was cleaning out the garage and I saw all my cards and I was like, you know what? You know, Zach told me I should take a look at these and some of these are going to be worth some money. So I'll look at them right now. Oh, boy. So, yeah, most of the cards that I had were absolute garbage and trash, and I wondered how I even won a game of Magic with the cards that I had, but they were there. The coup de grace came in at the end when I found all of my my hybrid lands, like my plateaus and my volcanic islands and badlands, and started looking those up online, and whoo boy, did I find out how much money I had in like one card sheet. I was loving life. I was like, daddy needs a new car. And cards that I abused and used for in like my bicycle tires to make noise, like Demonic Tutor, are like $40 a pop. Like, yeah, like sign me up for this. I will sell all of these cards. Daddy's got a, you know, college tuition he's going to have to pay for sooner or later. So yeah, I got those all sorted out. But then, oh man, like just the need to be back in Magic again. And, you know, now that I have disposable income and can actually afford to buy cards that are good, or at least have the chance to buy cards that are good, mm-hmm. at a clip that is, you know, beneficial to me, man, I went out and I bought an expansion, like a whole new box of the new expansion set that came out, and immediately gushed to Justin like a little schoolgirl about my purchase.
I haven't done that yet because I'm pretty sure if I did that before I got rid of the 20 gallon tub in my garage, my wife would shoot me in the head. Like if I just showed up with a box of cards, like she'd be like, what is this? No.
You're like, it's for research and it's for our it's for our community, our Pixel Life community. Like they are deep into Magic cards now. We're pulling our listeners down with us.
This whole thing has made me more and more upset that we can't set up private rooms in Arena for like private tournaments and things like that. Like, I think that's total crap that we can't do that.
I know. I still cannot believe to this day that they have not implemented like custom like drafts.
Yeah.
Like, or the ability to go into a draft with, like, a party of people is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, like, why can't I get 10 people together to do a card draft? Like, why not? You know? I mean, I'm trying to give you money.
Wizards. I think maybe they're worried about, you know, losing that kind of, like, player versus player mentality where like it's kind of like an unknown. You know, I think people are going to be pretty cliquish if that happens, maybe. Like, they won't, like, break off and try to find, you know, try to battle against other people or be as competitive as far as, like, going up the rankings, you know, buying more cards.
But, like, they already have friends lists. Like, if I want to play against Justin, just play against him, I can. Like, that's not a, like, difficult thing to do. It's just, like, and they have booster drafts, so just let me do that. Like, yeah. even if it's just like one person foots the bill for the whole thing and you get to invite X amount of people or something like that. But it's like, you know, if they have a hard time breaking out the economy of it, even though I don't think it would be that difficult, like you could still do something like that. And then everyone would just like Venmo me, you know, their entry fee. But yeah, I mean, it seems like a no brainer.
Yeah, I mean, all each person has to do is just pay their way into, like, three booster packs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it. And my thing is, like, even in real physical drafts, like, every time I've ever done it, I've done it with at least one to two friends. And it's like, we didn't manipulate the system, we didn't whatever, it's just we went into a pod, like, together and, like, fucked each other up. Like, we didn't manipulate the system to get, like, all the best cards or pass anyone anything crazy, like... Like, I just want to do a draft with friends and not complete strangers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. Because it just adds that extra level of, like, shit-talking on the side.
You figure they've got to have enough people saying, give us this functionality. And it's just, I don't know what the implementation holdup is, but, like, you got to think that's coming sooner or later, right?
Well, now my thing is, I guess, with them, like, finally, I think maybe they've been, you know... busy trying to get it on mobile, and with it like the beta on Android now and stuff, I think maybe once that's done and out, they'll be like, all right, now we can focus on adding draft.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that something they're holding back until it's out on mobile. But
yeah, I mean, I could definitely see like it being kind of hard to get into a draft with somebody like you don't know, because you're like, okay, I don't know what this person's financial backing is going into this game. Like, I know my friends are poor bastards, so like we're all gonna do the same going in here. But like this homeboy is probably gonna buy like 15 packs. You know, I'm gonna buy like three.
Well, that's the good thing with the booster though, is it's like it's literally like three packs. The draft, you know, and it's like you get X amount of cards. I mean, you could even have it set up where they draft auto draft and it's just random. You get what you get, you know? And so take the gamesmanship out of it, if you will. But
I don't know.
But Shannon, you should play Magic the Gathering Arena because it's fun.
If my 3D printer didn't die on me by, you know, my own personal negligence, mm-hmm. This weekend, I probably would have been playing it this weekend.
It's free, by the way.
I know. I'm not saying like,
I'm just saying it doesn't cost you anything to download it. It's just,
yeah, but I got to have a computer to play it on.
First hit's free, man. It's,
you know. I know the first hit is free. I have no problem indulging in this. My veins are ready. Yeah, it's just,
I know Shannon needs to
track marks have been firmly in place. Like, yeah.
Shannon needs to get some of those like hard shell clamp cases. Badlands though.
Oh dude, like I think I gotta go get them rated first.
Well, I mean, yeah, you'll probably want to put them. I think you have to mail them away though to get them.
Yeah, that unlimited rated. Plateau is worth some money, and the volcanic island unlimited.
Yeah, that volcanic island, my jaw hit the floor when I saw that price. I was like, what the oh my god.
But that's funny though, because there are cards like that I have that I had completely forgotten about, you know, like when mm-hmm. I came across like beta crawworms and like this stack of like random betas that I had. And like, sure, they were all commons and like there wasn't anything amazing in there, but it was just like, wait, I had these? When did I even get these? Like, I don't even remember this, you know?
Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah, my memory was I had gotten rid of all of my beta and unlimited stuff like 15 years ago. I sold a bunch of it to someone else because I needed to like repair my car at the time or something like that. You know, like it was some horrible story like that. But the But then I still had a small stack of them, and I'm like, oh, sweet. Excellent.
Yeah, my girlfriend was like, so what are you going to do with these? Like, are you going to hold on to them? Or, like, are you just going to let them, like, increase the value? I was like, no, dude, this is, like, the stock market. Like, you sell when, like, you find a treasure trove like this, you just get rid of it, liquidate it. Because, like, knowing my luck, like, I have a whole bunch of, like, Marvel collector's cards that my grandpa thought were going to be something one day for, like, the whole set. And they're just sitting in there, like, they're worth less than the paper they're printed on.
Hey, those cards are rad, though. I found mine when I was going through all my Magic cards, and I'm like, I still love these cards. Like, they're awesome.
There is some artwork in there, like I would probably say Marvel Series 2 and Series 3 were really good, but, like, after that, when they started getting super artsy-fartsy, like, it kind of fell off. Like,
I like the original, the OG, was it 1991 set? Because, like, it looks super 80s comic book. Like, that's what it looks like, and I don't know, the nostalgia of it makes me love it, you know?
That was awesome. Those were hella expensive for a while too. Like, a full set of those, like, I mean, back in, like, 1998, you could probably sell a full set of that for, like, $500, which was at the time a lot of money.
And now it's like, oh, but I've got all the holograms. They're like, yeah, they're $5 each. Who cares?
Yeah, they're garbage. Yeah. I have a Venom, like, that was in a hard press, like, case that was a hologram that was, like, $100 back in the day. It's nothing now. I went through my baseball cards too. Like, I had, like, a full set of Tops in, like, 1989 and a 1991, like, Tops full set, and they were garbage. They were like $12 for the full set. I was like, thanks, guys, this is awesome. You know, it's just all going through all that stuff that you, it's funny, you think was like money, and you're just like, it's garbage.
Oh yeah, like, I have this Shaquille O'Neal Future Force Upper Deck rookie card, you know, that I remember getting it when Shaquille O'Neal was a rookie and being like, oh, this is totally going to be worth something. I'm going to hold on to this. And I looked it up because I found it. It's worth like $12. And I'm like, oh. Meanwhile, like, Jordan rookies are selling for like six figures, you know, and it's like, son of a bitch. Like,
you put it back in the safe and you're like, one day.
Yeah. One day.
No, you just like take it out. You've been demoted after 20 years. You've finally been demoted.
So the day I'm looking forward to is, you know, like a year from now when we can be indoors with people again, and we can get Justin and his girlfriend up here and we can do a proper tournament style. We'll go raid some Gator games beforehand, buy all new shit and just do it.
Everybody gets to buy a box and then just like go to town.
Yeah, we'll set it up in my garage. You can have all the kids crash out at the house. Women can drink wine. It'll be great. Be good times.
Dude, got our sweater vests and some nice cigars.
You laugh. I'm down. Like, let's do this.
Oh, I was talking about it the other day too, or today with my girlfriend. We were driving in San Jose, and they have like a whole bunch of horseshoe pits out there, Zach. And I was like, oh, dude, like, when COVID is over, we need to have like a Domino's and horseshoes, like, just day. Yes. Like, everybody bring your 40s. Like, we'll just sit out there with like Domino's and horseshoes and just tear shit up all day. Yep. Like, that's what I'm looking forward to.
That domino life. Let's do this.
Like, yes. I'm going to 3D print like a whole bunch of domino sets.
Lockdown turn 4. That's always the goal. Lockdown turn 4. But yes, I love dominoes. I don't know if you know this about me. I have like 18 sets of dominoes. But yes, Justin, would you be up for taking a road trip up north so you could hang out at my house with us and play Magic for an entire weekend?
Dude, yes. I have no complaints about that. Eat some good California food. Like, come back 10 pounds heavier.
Dude, we have taquerias for days around here, like, eating that good life. Good sushi, good taquerias, like,
good. Good sushi taquerias.
I mean, there are sushi-ritos. If you are so inclined, you can go get one.
I have had a sushi-rito out in California before.
Yep. I mean, yeah, if you want to take the train up to where AT&T Park or Oracle Park, whatever the hell the Giants play in now, there's like every kind of food imaginable within like six blocks. It's kind of insane. It's like, do you want a sushi-rito, ramen, and then wash it down with chicken wings? Yep, we can do all that in the same block. You know, like, it's one of those type of things. It's pretty rad, though.
Yeah, it's legit, dude. It's hella good.
Justin's just like, wait, I can do what? Huh?
I'm like, what the fuck's a train?
So it's a big thing. They're cars. They go on rails.
Dude, I'm not gonna lie. The first time when I went to California, I like rode the subway. I like my palms were so sweaty, like just because all the hustle and bustle. I'm like, dude, I don't know what any of this is.
Yeah.
Like there's colors on the road. Like I'm like looking at the map trying to figure it out, and I'm like on Google, like Google and my connection's cutting it, and I'm like, I need to know when I'm getting off. I'm like, I don't know.
Oh yeah.
It smells like piss down here.
you can't use any type of GPS in San Francisco because like the buildings are so tall it just cuts out. Like you're just screwed.
and all the BART trains go underground. So it's like yeah, you're doubled up on how screwed you are for sure.
Yeah, so we kind of got sidetracked here. I don't even know. We started with magic, and now we're like in we're talking about food in San Francisco. Like,
I mean, these go hand in hand.
We go places. Variety show, Shannon.
I'm just trying to keep some semblance of where we were. Like,
all right. Let's Shannon, slap it down on the table. What's the biggest value card you found in your scrounging?
I would say the biggest value card I found in my scrounging was that Volcanic Island. That was at $2,700.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, like I had cards that were like $2,700. Like the other cards were like $400 to $500. Like a Wheel of Fortune is like $270. I had one of those, like the demonic tutors were like $40 each. And I have like a box of those. We had,
so the funny thing about those is those are worth more because they got rid of all the demonic stuff for a while.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like Unholy Strength. Remember when they removed the pentagram from behind it and then like they got rid of demonic tutors and replaced them with vampiric tutors, which came out in it's like Mirage or Visions or one of those sets, but which those are actually worth money too. I have like three of those and I'm like, wait, this is worth dollars? Really? Like those are worth like $80. Are you kidding me? But yeah, then the demonic tutors started firing up because they stopped making them. Like they don't make demonic tutor anymore, but yeah.
That's awesome. Like, I mean, I was just like, yes, give me all of that. But yeah, I think that was pretty much where it was at. I have like Urza's Mines and like a whole bunch of Urza's power plants and things like that. And surprisingly, those were like, I mean, like they're like $12, $15. I mean, but like I have hundreds of those. Like
I'll
take that. So yeah, I mean, it was a fun trip down memory lane.
Yeah, my big dollar one was the Alpha Birds of Paradise. I want to say that's like $3,400, something like that.
Yeah, it's up there.
And then Candelabra of Tanis from Antiquities, Jizam Jinn from Arabian Nights, and Diamond Valley from Guardian Beast. Those like all those like Arabian Night ones I found, and I'm like, and let me tell you, I was terrified because I knew I had them. I knew I had them, and I went through that entire goddamn bin, and they weren't there. I went through every card in that bin and I like, where's this Jizam Jinn? Where are the Diamond Valley? Where's the Guardian Beast? It's three cards. They were together. I know it. Where are they? And I was like ripping through everything, could not find them. And I'm sitting there like, yeah, this is literally like $3,000. Like, where is this? You know, like, and I'm going. And I do not remember doing this. I don't know how they got there. They were in between two of the Marvel card sets I had. They were between like Marvel Series 1 and Marvel Series 2 in sleeves and protectors, but like between those two card sets. And I'm like, how the hell did they wind up like not in that box at all, completely separate thing in my attic? And it was just one of those like I never would have found them if I hadn't been like doing the deep scrounging cleaning. It's like I had no idea how they wound up there, but I found them and, instantly, like, it was one of those, like, as soon as I found them, like, the cold sweat broke out. I'm like, whew, okay, I can relax. Yeah.
Yeah, when I was going through the binders and I had, like, the 9-page leaflets and I got to that spot where, like, all of my, like, multi-lands were, and I just, it was just like somebody dumped, like, a cold water, like, down my back. I was just like, okay, let's go check this out. Daddy's going to go check this out right now.
Yeah,
you know? Dude, now let me ask you, When either of you were kids, did you ever accidentally like have cards in your pocket that like went through the wash?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all the time, dude.
All the time.
But like
the worst offender for me is I lost a fork that way. It was a rare on the red side, and I think probably a dual land. I want to say like a Savannah or something. I lost, maybe not through the wash, but like just because it was in my pocket and I forgot about it and it got crunched, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't think. There were a couple cars that got it. Like I just had like a stack of them like once in my pocket and they all got washed. But I can't remember if there was anything of value in there. Yeah, I'm glad. It just sucks because I thought I had a lot more Magic cards than I'm pulling right now from my old bins. Maybe there's some upstairs in my parents' house that I haven't seen yet, but I could have sworn I had a lot more. I don't know what happened to them. It's a bummer, especially when I'm pulling some of these values. Oh, God.
You're like shaking your mom. You're like, where are they?
I was like, this is the second time. I swear to God, you did it with my steel cast transformers that are worth like a crap ton now. I had Optimus Prime and he was like in such good condition and you just ruined that for me. And now you throw out all my magic cards. Oh,
you're like, where's my Stretch Armstrong, mom?
Where is it? Don't lie to me.
Like, you wonder why I have issues with throwing things away. This is exact reason right here.
Good times. But yes, we're all back obsessed with Magic. It's fun.
Yeah, I walked into Game Castle down in Santa Clara, and the guy was sitting there with a stack of like the new like Magic the Gathering like expansion boxes, and he was like, "What are you here for?" And I said, "Oh, I'm here for the new Magic the Gathering set." And he goes, "I'm sorry." And I said, "You should have told me that like 20 years ago." And I was like, "Oh, wait, like you were barely a thought in your dad's balls 20 years ago." Shut up and give me my cards.
You're like, "Yeah, I'm here for the cards, not for the commentary. So shut the fuck up." Anyway.
Yeah, take my money. I'm here for the cards. It's all business now.
It's like, look, do you want my money or do you not want my money? Because I don't really care what you think. So,
yeah, we'll start some shit. Let's do this.
Yeah, I mean, I'll throw down over some Magic cards. You think I won't? Shannon was there in the cafeterias when we used to play in high school. I would throw down over this shit.
Yeah, it got legit. It got heated. Like, friendships were lost. Friendships were forged.
It's true. Magic. The cause of and solution to so many problems. Well, let's talk about video games we've been playing, not just card games and video versions of those card games. But I want to tell you guys about a little game called, I'm going to go with Olija, Olija. It's never really said in the game, but so I'm just going to say Olija. And it is a game from Skeleton Crew Studio, which is based out of Kyoto and published by Devolver Digital, which should raise some flags right there for you because Devolver makes good stuff or puts good stuff out into the world, I should say. And, you know, it's got a look to it. It's a 2D game, but the look reminds me kind of like OG Prince of Persia, like that. That 2D, but everything's kind of like blocky, not like 8-bit, but you know, that kind of like hybrid thing where it's not, nothing's in like good resolution, but it's fluid, you know, I mean, watch one video, you'll get what I mean, but it's one of those things where it's not like the sharpest looking graphics in the world, but it moves really well.
When I looked at pictures of it, it reminded me of that one game that you played, that Photographs, pixel art. The different stories.
Return of Oberdin?
No, the one, it was called Photographs, or it's like a mobile game or whatever, but it's like
The who made that? Damn it, I love that game too.
Really sad. Each of the stories is really sad.
Yeah, super sad, but like it's a total kick you in the gut game, but like it's great. But yeah, a very similar look to that. Great call. And the so if you like games or like the appeal of games like Salt and Sanctuary or like you know, kind of like a Dark Souls thing, 2D, the 2D Dark Souls games, but you actually like to play games, then I highly recommend this because it's nowhere near that difficult. Like, the challenge of this game really isn't that hard. The combat is really fun. You have a harpoon and you get a secondary weapon that so far I've gotten a shotgun, a rapier, and a crossbow. And you can cycle through them depending on what you need at the time. But the mechanic in the game that makes it super fun is the harpoon. So essentially it's like this cursed harpoon you come across. At least that's what everyone in this town you are, or in the area you are, is telling you it is. But what it allows you to do is you can throw it into enemies and then basically teleport right to where they are. And so it lets you traverse across maps super fast. It helps with a bunch of different combat puzzles or how to get to secret areas and things like that. When you figure out like, oh, I can throw it into this dude who's flying, get to him, jump off him into this shelf over here. It's really clever how it's done. And the second boss fight, I don't know if it's the second, it's the order I did it in. It was the second. It became like crucial for how to beat him because he was a guy that would like kind of get big and then shoot like lightning bolts around you and then teleport to where you are and do like a lightning attack and you had to get away from him. But like, if you didn't have the harpoon, it'd be impossible. And it was like the second time I died on the fight, I'm like, oh wait, I can just huck the harpoon to the left as soon as he pops up next to me and then like push A, boom, I'm gone. And he's still over there. And then all of a sudden that fight becomes like crazy easy. Like as soon as you figure out how to work the mechanic right, it's really clever. The only bummer of the game, I mean, to be fair, it's a $15 game. You can get it on, I'm playing it on Switch right now. It's $15. I paid like 10 something with the coins I had. It's like 4 hours long. It's not a long game at all. It's one of those things where I'm really hoping they expand on it. I'd love some DLC. I'd love just more to do with this mechanic. That being said, I love the experience. It was super fun. Like, it's one of those things. Like, it was basically the thing I played all afternoon. And it was funny because it shows you there's four pieces of the map you need. And I had played for, I don't know, 2.5-3 hours. And I looked down and I'm like, oh, I've got three pieces of the map. Wait, is this game almost over? You know, and it was, like, this doesn't feel like I put in nearly enough time for this game to almost be over. But yeah, it is. And then it sums up pretty nice. And aside from the last boss fight, it really wasn't all that challenging. The last boss sucks. It's like a weird difficulty spike for the rest of the vibe of that game. But it's still nowhere near like Salt and Sanctuary style. Like, it's still totally manageable and you should have a good grasp on the controls. It's just definitely a spike. It was one of those like, oh wait, I died like three times in a row on this. Like, holy crap, like what the hell just happened? And then it's like, oh, I better really buckle down and figure out how to beat this guy. Oh, okay, I did. Okay, it's over. And but I highly recommend it. It's super fun. I'm probably going to replay it a few times because there's some different ways you can go. I'm going to see if I can do a 100% run on it. But yeah, highly recommend it. Allegia, if you feel so inclined, grab that because it's cheap and it's really good. So get on that.
Awesome.
Shannon, I think you would be all about that game.
Yeah. Like I said, when I can get my hands on my Switch after this podcast, I'm going to download it. I'm going to give it a try.
Yeah, dude, you said the magic words Dark Souls, and it sounds, I mean, and I'm at the point in my life where it's like, dude, like a 4 or 5 hour like game sounds perfect to me. Like, I don't, because I need a 20, 25 hour fucking experience. Like, if I can bang it out in the afternoon, I'm all for that.
Which I agree with you. It's just, I was into the game so much, I was hoping, yeah. I wanted more. When I was finished with it, I was like, oh, I'm not really ready for this to be done yet because this rules, you know? So, but yeah, and I mean, it's Dark Souls and like you can open up pathways and do that type of stuff when you're in areas. But I mean, it's nowhere near the challenge. Nowhere. Yeah. It's, if anything, it's almost too easy, but the game is about exploring more than it is about the combat, and the combat's good. It's just more about figuring out where to go and where to get the keys and how to get to the boss fights, you know. But it's fun. Highly recommend.
Awesome.
All right, Shannon, what you got?
So this week I was looking for something new, and I went and picked up Atelier Ryza 2 for the Switch. It's made by Koei Tecmo, and it's got a lot of the same looks as Xenoblade Chronicles. So, I mean, the minute I saw it, I was like, dude, I'm in on this. And I bought it. I have zero regrets. It is freaking awesome. It's a little long in the beginning. Like, I just kind of wanted to get to killing monsters and going out and getting, like, the cool weapons and the characters. But it, you know, it wanted to kind of hold my hand for a little bit. There's no English dub version, so it's all subtitles. So, you know, that's kind of a bummer, but I'm enjoying the game enough to where I don't mind reading the dialogue. And I've only put maybe an hour or two into it right now, but I'm enjoying what I've played so far. So next week I'll have a little bit more in-depth detail for you on this game. Justin, what have you been playing?
So the only game I happened to play this week was Magic Arena. And that's because new set came out. I will say, too, so I tried, because on for Arena, the phone Android version or whatever went into beta. That came out the same day the new set came out on Friday. And I was going to download it on my phone, try it out. I go to the Google Play Store, and it said that, like, my phone wasn't compatible, that, like, and it, my phone's not that old. It's like a Note 8 or, like, whatever. But I'm like, really? Like, I'm like, what? Do you honestly have to have, like, the newest, like, Galaxy or something in order to, like, play it? I thought that was interesting. So I didn't get to play it on mobile, so I was kind of bummed about that. But I bought a bunch of boosters on Arena. I built some new decks and stuff and played around. In the new set, there's, you know, Giants, Sagas, Poison Counters have returned, so you can poison people, basically infect them out of the game and stuff now, and there's only a couple cards that really, like, do poison.
Is it still 12 poison counters?
It's 10.
10? Okay. Hey, Shannon, do you remember when the Dark first came out?
Mm-hmm.
And what was it? I think Marsh Vipers did poison mm-hmm. damage, and mm-hmm. all of us were like, the fuck is poison damage? Like, it was like in no aspect of the game ever before. I mean, I think we figured out it was like something they introduced in Legends or something like that, but mm-hmm. it was one of those things where, like, yeah, we're all looking at these cards like, what the hell is poison? I don't even know what this is.
Yeah, yeah, like there's one new card that's like Flynn the Fang Bear or whatever, that when a creature you control with Death Touch deals combat damage to a player, that player gets 2 poison counters, and then any player with 10 or more poison counters loses the game. So it gives all your Death Touchers poison, and then there's stuff like that one card at the beginning of the podcast was talking that gives double counters and stuff. You could sit there and each creature would give 4 poison counters instead and stuff, so you could pretty quickly poison someone out of the game. So I was building giant decks and building like green stompy decks and stuff and having some fun testing out a lot of the new cards.
Cool. Good stuff.
Yeah, I feel like we've been a little magic heavy, so I don't want to ask any questions, so I'll save them for after.
Well, speaking of being magic heavy, should we talk about some WandaVision?
God, yes. That transition was sexy.
Thank you. So yeah, we're going to go ahead and go on to episode 4 spoilers. If you haven't seen it, have a good week. We'll catch you next week. All that good stuff. Hey guys, let's talk some episode 4, cause they dropped the hammer this week on what was going down.
Or the sword, if you will.
Or the sword. And I will. Thank you. And so what were your initial reactions to episode 4?
Dude, I thought it was really smart that they kind of broke away from their, like, here's the first 3 episodes, and then here's an episode to kind of give more context to the first 3 mm-hmm. episodes. And the fact that we got to see, little snippets of when Wanda, like, basically blinked time and stuff. We got to see those snippets that, like, we didn't get to see in the actual episodes of when she, like, erased stuff, and getting to kind of see, like, you know, the beekeeper suit, like, explained and stuff, and the helicopter and why it's in color. And my favorite part was one of my favorites was when we get to see Vision looking dead. So it's kind of trying to figure that. I think Vision is legitimately dead, and either A, she like reanimated him, or just like B, he just doesn't exist, and it's just like her trying to hold it together and project him in there.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like the scene when Vision shows up with the hole in his head and all his color gone and dead eyed and all that, that was like legitimately shocking. I was like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that on any level. And yeah, I'm with you. That was kind of the moment where I was like, oh, I think their Vision's like gone. And she's just reanimating him at this point or something to that effect. I don't know. It was kind of a trip. The thing I loved about this episode was the reintroduction of Jimmy Woo and Darcy Lewis from the Ant-Man and Thor movies, respectively. My favorite little nod to the movies, though, was when Woo does the magic card trick for his business card. And I was like calling back to Ant-Man, how he was like practicing at his desk trying to do it and he couldn't do it. Like, and I was just like, oh, that's so great. Like, now that's character growth, goddammit, when he was just like, here's my card. But then I thought, I like Kat Dennings, you know? I mean, her annoying nerd voice aside, like, I think she's fun in that character. They always give her good dialogue. And I said the nerd voice thing because our friend Carlos really hates the accent she uses in this show. What's up, Carlos? And But I think they give her a lot of fun stuff to say. So I liked her whole vibe in the control room, and how they just, by the end of the episode, they had like 50 1960s televisions like all around to get the signal. But yeah, I'm all the way in on this show now. And I'm with you, Justin. Like, I thought it was smart to kind of do the like, oh, look, it's the ever-evolving sitcom, da-da-da-da-da, 50s, 60s, 70s, and then it's like, okay, we're going to press pause here and, like, let's show you what the hell is actually happening in, like, the real, real world, and it's like, okay, it's a completely made-up town. She has completely made up this town. It goes up into the space and under the ground, the barriers of it all, and it's like it gave some framework around to what we're seeing. And especially when it's like, okay, this person in the town is actually this person. This person in the town is actually this person. And it's like, oh, these were all just random residents of New Jersey that got stuck in this town and are playing characters now because of Wanda. And then my favorite moment, though, was when they showed Geraldine getting kicked out of the town from basically Wanda's perspective. And it was when Wanda drops her character in the whole, like, no, who are you part. And then it was like, oh, right. Wanda is a complete badass. Like, you forget partly because of like the role she's playing in the town and, you know, she's kind of light and sweet and quirky and all this stuff. And then it's like, no, she was the one that had Thanos by the fucking balls and was about to win by herself. You know, like that's who Wanda is. Like she's a hardcore badass. And it's like, oh yeah, when she throws, you know, Rambo through freaking four brick walls and out of the town, you're like, oh, that's who that is. Got it. Okay.
She like launched her through six houses. I'm like, dude, is this chick dead or what? Like, what did you think, Chick?
Oh, the way the episode started with like the slow fade in on like the dust coming back, like after the snap, like people getting put back together.
Yes.
And the pandemonium in the hospital, I was like, oh my God, I would have so many other questions too. Like, you know, like what happens to people in the beds with the other with new patients in beds? Like, how is like, oh my God, all the chaos. And that was a great opening. It got me thinking,
like, what if you got snapped while you were, like, in a transatlantic flight? Are you just suddenly 30,000 feet up over, like, you know, Newfoundland? Like, what's happening here?
Or, like, I'm trying to think, like, where Spider-Man was when he got to, when the snap happened to him. Like, was Doctor Strange around when that happened? Like, I mean, who was there? Yeah. I was trying to think, like, who he was with. Like, how could he get back? But, yeah, that shit was, like, crazy. And then just the whole episode, the way that they're weaving the story, like the whole integration, like you were saying, like the throwbacks to the characters that they're bringing back from Thor and Ant-Man, and just the quirkiness of all of their characters working together, it fits in this series. And I love watching like how it all comes together. And like, I know you guys have read like the House of M and in mm-hmm. the Vision like comic books, but you know, it seems like they're kind of straying away from that a little bit, and I'm there for it. And I do like the more modern episodes, like the Leave It to Beaver and the I Love Lucy kind of like throwback, like little nods and tilts. They're okay, but they just make the episode kind of drag out a little bit. I felt this one, like, by the time the episode was done, I was like, wait, I want more. Like, I really want more now. Like, I'm invested. Like, I want to know what's going on. Like, what are these people doing on the outside? Why are they getting in there? Like, who's going to be the villain? Is it going to, like, turn around and you're going to find out that the Scarlet Witch is actually the villain? Like, who's pulling the strings? So now I'm a lot more invested in the series than I was before. I think it has to do, like, this episode kind of sealed the deal for me. Like, I'm in now. Like, I'm completely sold. I want to see where this goes.
Yeah, it's like, is this all just something she's created to deal with her grief?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or is it bigger than that? And it's like, I want to think it's a lot bigger than that, because why have a show otherwise? But I mean, if it all comes down to, like, she's just grieving real bad and her powers are letting her do this, I'm probably going to be a little disappointed if that's really what it is, you know, but, but I mean, also this might be how Monica Rambeau gets her powers. You know, she had a stint as Captain Marvel in the comics for a while. So maybe something happens here where she gets a bunch of, you know, juice off of the Scarlet Witch or something. They've done dumb things like that in the comics before where,
well, it's like, I don't remember who said it. I think someone said, and now that we have a spoilers area in the Discord, I don't remember who mm-hmm. said it, but someone said about basically the ending being like a reverse House of M, where instead of her deleting all the mutants, she actually creates mutants.
Yeah.
And that could be a possibility.
Super smart. I was like, well, that's actually, I hadn't considered that, but like, yeah, I could totally see that. Was that, God, who was that? Was that Michael Bonovich?
It might have been.
Yeah.
It might have been, yeah.
But yeah, it's like, I'm here for it. I think, oh man, it's so awesome. But you know, I think a good way for her to get the Captain America like moniker is she was just thrown like through three brick walls, like, you know, Justin was saying. Like, her body is going to be mangled when she's sitting there on the ground. Like, just inject her with the serum, keep her going. Boom, like,
super soldier. Captain Marvel. Yeah. Boom, there we go. Well, I mean, that's how, in the comics, that's how Rogue ends up with super strength and the ability of flight, was because she touched Captain Marvel for, like, too long, and the power shift became permanent or whatever. Because it was one of those, like, her mutant ability is she takes the powers of people she touches. But it's like, okay, but why can she fly? You know, and it's like, oh, well, we have a reason for that. don't look behind the curtain. So yeah, I mean, who knows? But the show is getting really good. Shannon, have you started Legion yet?
No.
Watch Legion. I want to talk about Legion.
I only have so much time to watch something fair. During the week.
Totally fair. I believe me. I know. I know. It is asking a lot from me to make sure I watch a half hour show every week. So I get it. But damn, you'll love Legion. Let me tell you. And that's what I want from my X-Men, is more Legion-ass craziness like that. Like, that was really good stuff. So yeah, I mean, I purposely stayed away from the trailer for episodes, like the upcoming episodes. So I don't want to spoil myself, but I can't wait to see what next week is. The walls seem to be crumbling. So
now there's only, is this only another, is this like another 8 episode?
I believe like, so. Yeah.
Series.
Okay. Yeah. So we should be starting to get revelations here on out, I would think.
Well, cause yeah, I'm assuming cause it, the last one the 70s or the 80s?
Mm-hmm. 70s.
It was like 70s. Okay. So then I'm assuming we still have 80s, 90s, and then 2000s would probably be. If we're going up chronologically,
that would be great if the 90s one was like that 70s show, so it was the 70s again.
It's like Wonder Woman 84.
Yeah.
But no, dude, Rambo that was gets, such a Rambo good call gets though
dropped, Rambo gets dropped from 4 stories onto a car and is fine, you know?
Dude, that was such a good call though, Shane, about the, and I completely forgot about the intro, and that's like probably like the most like intense and like insane like first like 5 minutes of any Marvel movie or like anything, getting to see like she's running down the halls and people are just phasing back into existence and like bumping into people and stuff, because and even in the movies we didn't really get to see that, so getting to actually see that happening and stuff was like really cool.
And then the other thing I would love that I saw going around on Twitter, and someone mentioned it on the Discord as well, was they want a Jimmy Woo Darcy like Happy X-Files spinoff, yeah. Where it's them just finding like anomalies and explaining them.
Every time he uses a different magic trick to like bring out the folder, the file folder.
That'd be great. I'm on board. Give me it. I'm ready. But yeah, no, it's really good. Oh, you know what else I watched? This weekend was, I know neither one of you watched the first season and that's fine, but I just want people to know the second season of Camp Cretaceous came out on Netflix. If you have a child that is obsessed with dinosaurs like mine is, guess what? You know when Jurassic Park Camp Cretaceous is coming out. And the second season is way better than the first season. It's a lot more focused. Like characters actually develop, like things actually happen for a purpose, unlike the first season. It's really good. I highly recommend it. It moves real fast.
I'll tell you, I watched something this weekend too. Mm. I watched Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Had you never seen it before?
No, I've never seen it before.
Oh my god, what'd you think?
So I liked it a lot. I don't understand like how Mothra got to be queen of the monsters. How she got that moniker, because every time I see Mothra fight, she gets her ass kicked, or like, and this movie is no exception. She basically gets beat up by who is it? What's his name? The fire one of
Rodan.
Yeah, Frodo. Yeah, she gets like, she kills him, but like she's so beat up from the fight that she's useless. And then she goes up against Monster Zero and like just gets obliterated. And then like her like dust particles like heal like Godzilla a little bit. And I'm just like, okay. I had a hard time understanding the oxygen depletion bomb. Like it basically sucks out all of the oxygen from the area. If that was the case, they shot the thing right into the water, so now you just have an area that's a bunch of hydrogen with an explosion. Like, I mean, so what did you do there? Like, yeah, I mean, didn't think any of that out. But then like Godzilla is the only one that's apparently affected by the explosion, and he goes into the little hidey hole. And then, like, they explode, like, another nuclear bomb, like, underneath there. So, like, the whole world is, like, getting fucked up with nuclear radiation anyway. Like, what is going to be there going to be left to save? But I thought the storyline with, like, the whole, like, you hired me to, you know, basically kidnap you kind of was a little lame. Like, I called that, like, way in the beginning of the movie. Granted, sure. we're not watching this for the plot. But, yeah, like, the fighting, the monsters fighting was dope. Them flying like that big ass plane into the hurricane with what's the guy that you just called, what's his name,
Rodan.
Yeah, flying him into the storm to fight the other guy, that was pretty dope. Like, just to see them like be like, okay, I guess this is what we're doing now, we're fighting. Like, you know, the didn't even miss a beat. Like, anytime any of the Titans are together, they're just like, yeah, whatever, I guess we're fighting. Like, you know, cool. It was cool. It was a fun movie. I enjoyed watching it. I'm not, I don't regret watching that movie.
My favorite thing about that movie is they made all of the Titans, like, insanely formidable. Like when Rodan or King Ghidorah or fuck, even Mothra shows up on screen, you're like, holy shit. Like, all right, that's a problem. Like when King Ghidorah is just like wrecking fucking shop. And like when Godzilla shows up, Godzilla looks kind of small. You're like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, this is going to go real bad. Like this three-headed bitch is just going to wreck things around here. And I thought that was the movie's best accomplishment because, you know, like, what was it? Pacific Rim was one of those movies that you're dealing with the Jaegers and the kaiju and all that. But when everything's at that scale, you kind of lose the fact that these things are so gigantic. They're like awe-inspiring. And so by the end of that movie, you're kind of like, well, that was fun when he grabbed the ship and used it like a freaking baseball bat. Like, that was cool. But like, you kind of don't really get a sense of scope or size. Godzilla never has that problem. Like, anytime one of the Titans show up, you're like, fuck. You know, like, holy crap, this is going to be real bad.
And, that scene where they were, where he's swimming in the water and they're in the base and they're like, open the doors, like open the shields. Like, I want to see this guy. And he's swimming towards them and he's got his eyes glowing in the water and he's got the ridge on the back glowing. I was like, I'd be peeing my pants right now. And then they're like, oh, he's gone. And then like, he like swims like right up next to them. And you're just like, oh yeah, I would. Ugh, scared. So scared. Dude,
there's like so many scenes in that movie that are just like wallpaper candy. Like when Mothra hatches and stuff and the wings like span for the first time and stuff. It's just like gorgeous.
Oh, when Rodan's like low altitude flying and like everything's catching on fire behind him, you know, sequence. Like, it's just, yeah.
Or like when Godzilla's sitting there and you just got all the helicopters from like the just like falling down, like kind of like, I mean, almost like ash, but they're just, it's like once you realize it's actually like planes falling, you're just like, oh shit.
Yeah. No, that movie's super legit. Like, but you see why I wouldn't let my 7-year-old watch it. It's a little intense. Like, and that's why I was saying last week, I hope the Kong versus Godzilla movie ups the camp a little more and knocks down the seriousness, because if it keeps the same serious tone that King of the Monsters has, like, I think it's just going to be too much, you know? Like it's cool and it's awesome to look at, but it's never like fun, you know? Like, I could see where he would be like, that's real. Holy crap, we're all going to die by kaiju. And I'm like, no, dude, it's all good. Like, you know.
Now, did they, I'm not familiar with Godzilla lore other than like Godzilla and Mothra and Mechagodzilla. But like, there were 25 Titans in there, supposedly. Like, you know, they have the blips that show them moving all over the place. Like, do we know any of those other ones? Like the weird, like looking like mantis looking one and like the one that looked like a woolly mammoth. Like, are those actual like canon like monster like Titans that they created, or did they just like throw them in there? And
I'm pretty sure they're all like, I don't know the names, but I didn't think they made up any for the movie. Like, I know it was a, like, Tiamat was one of them, and then, but like I said, I'm not, you know, we need to get Steve Whitacomp back on here. He is my go-to kaiju guy. Like, if I have any question involving Godzilla or his ilk, Steve is my guy. So he would know that. I'm not sure.
Steve, fill us in, dude.
Yeah, bro. What we should, you know what we'll do is, because I want to do a spoiler cast after the movie drops on the 26th, I'll get Steve on that with us, and we can do all that fun business then.
Yes, let's do it.
All right, sounds like a plan. Well, I guess, gentlemen, that would be a show. So, you know, Justin, why don't you just cruise this ship on into port and dock her.
You know what, guys? Thank you for listening to another fantastic episode of That Pixel Life. If you would like to, you can go. We have a Discord. We have a whole spoiler section just added. Right now, it's primarily for WandaVision theories, but I'm sure other spoilery topics will end up getting discussed there in the near future. You can head over there. We're usually on there. Hit us up. There's always fun topics to talk about. You can also listen to us on Spotify, iTunes. If you do listen to us on iTunes, give us a review. Let us know what you think. Good, bad, whatever you want. Dealer's choice. You know, and if you have old magic cards, go up in your attic. Check them out. You go on TCG Player, Troll and Toad might be sitting on a fortune like old Shannon or Zach over here.
It's true. It's true.
And if Robbie was here, Zach, what do you think Robbie would say?
Robbie would say, hey guys, go be great.
I don't have anything cool this week.